We're glad you're here. We had one member of our family here that lost their father. And she said, well, it's all right. He's home with my mother and with the Lord. What an attitude. Good to have, isn't it? I brought my picture this week. I've been looking for that for 30 years. And you can see it afterwards. And I found it. It's the Laughing Jesus. I had seen it in Playboy magazine when I was a teenager. That's where it was. Yeah, really? The artist did, Donnie should have seen it. Yeah. He saw it. He ain't skipped over any. And somebody, the lady I bought it from, didn't have that much sense of humor, but I said, I love that. I said, isn't that something? And she said, well, yes, it's extraordinary. I knew what I had. I said, well, you know when they drew that, don't you? She said, no. I said, somebody just told him about the Big Bang Theory. And he was saying, yeah, right, and laughing. I said, we got to put that on the front here somewhere.
We'll let you do that.
All right. Everybody came this morning, brought the babies, and one little baby came without his mother. And I know that little baby. I know his mother. And he was here when he was, what, 3 or 4 weeks old. And now he's back, how old is he now? Be 6 months old. And she said he wanted to come. And so he likes us. So we are glad to see that, and we're glad to see you. I haven't seen anybody here for a while. I stayed inside. I don't know where y'all went for Memorial Weekend. So the motorcycle hits me, it'll be between the couch and the refrigerator. Because I am not getting out there, I tell you that. We not doing that, see. Then we thank you for being here Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is when we remember those who were in the service, have served the country. If you here and you were in the service and served them other than, in war or in peacetime, doesn't matter. Stand up, let us see you. Just stand up. We're proud of you. Hands raised. Stand up. Thank you. We appreciate that. We thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you going, and we didn't have to, and that was a blessing. It's just a roll of the dice or whatever, but a lot went and didn't come back, and we don't remember enough in our country, and that's what we're talking about a little bit today from Jeremiah. I noticed I saw a congressman on that congressman's channel, and he was trying to get the Second World War Memorial built in Washington. I can't even understand why you'd have to vote. Somebody just ought to suggest it, somebody draw it and build it. And they're voting, to do that, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. And he was so eloquent, he said that George Washington founded the country, and Abraham Lincoln guided the country, but the veterans of the Second World War, they saved the country, and they did, and we owe them a great deal of gratitude. You'll never know how close it was to us losing that war, and the people who fought in it will tell you who helped win it. So congratulations if you were in it. I asked Bob back there, he's got on his Airborne shirt. You can look back there. He's the last one in the house, and you can see him with his Airborne AA shirt on, and he's paratrooper. And I said, Bob, I'm glad y'all did it, but I don't understand, jumping out of an airplane. You have to explain, why do they say Geronimo? What does that mean? He said, well, that's Indian for why did I get up from a comfortable seat and jump out this door? And they all say it, Geronimo. So we're glad. Charlie Daniels had a little operation, had a polyp taken off inside his throat. Wasn't malignant, thank the Lord, but they gave him radiation treatments anyway to keep it from coming back. So you pray for Charlie. Mary's here this morning anyway. So we're glad you're here, and if you brought a Bible, you turn to the book of Jeremiah. The second chapter is where we will be expounding this morning. So let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet in your name, and we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, and we don't take that for granted. Thank you so much for this beautiful weather and the safety you've given our people. We pray for those who are in bereavement, that their dad has gone home, but the good news is he's gone home. And we thank you for those who have mentioned this morning, people who are sick and had various diseases, and ask that we pray, and we shall. And we know you're sovereign, Lord, and we just ask that your will be done in any case. And as you told Paul, we remember that your grace is very sufficient for whatever we have to go through. But we pray for those who are going through illnesses. It's just something we have to do until that day when there'll be no more. I thank you this morning as we assemble together to preach your word. We thank you that you let me be a part of it. And we thank you so much and ask you to remove me from this place, that you be heard. Anything I say that shouldn't be remembered will quickly be forgotten. But anything that should be remembered shall be. And we thank you, Lord, for that one who came who doesn't even know why he's here. Just something brought him here this morning. And he said, I need to go down there. And they're there. And they have no idea it was a divine appointment directed by you, and that they will hear the words of eternal life this morning. And today will be the day that they can win a victory of the war that means everything. They'll win that war that decides where they spend eternity. So please let that occur this morning, if it be thy will. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. And this morning we're talking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a Old Testament prophet, of course. He was a very young prophet. We don't know what Jeremiah means, like Geronimo there. We have to ask. We call Jeremiah the weeping prophet because we know about him. And he wept a lot because he, of course, was Jewish, as all the prophets were. And he had to tell Jerusalem that trouble was coming, that judgment was coming. And had to remind them that they had strayed from the Lord. And this was written in the 7th century B.C. And he was called of the Lord in the first chapter. And then the Jews require a sign. So the end of the first chapter, the Lord said, just so you'll know it's me, what do you see? And he said, I see a boiling pot to the north, facing the north. He said, that's right, trouble's coming from the north. That's what that means. And he saw an almond, which is the early blossoming tree in that part of the world, which meant it was going to happen soon. So he had had his sign from God. And he had to bring a bad message to his own people. And that gets preachers in bad trouble, you know. And they're not going to get a raise and not going to put the roof on the parsonage if they preach too much bad news. And Jeremiah didn't want to take the bad news, but he had to do what God said. And someone asked me, they said, is the United States mentioned in the Bible? I said, no, not at all. Not at all. May not even be here. It's so unimportant. And they said, well, is there anything that looks like it? I said, oh, yeah, there's something that looks like it. And I'll tell you Sunday morning what looks like it. And you will see that Jeremiah's warning of judgment to come because of what had happened in Jerusalem is exactly and precisely what is happening in this country now. Now, this is not an interpretation of that scripture. Don't leave here saying Jeremiah said that this was our time and our people. It is an application. And you will be able to see from what's happening here that that happens in our country too. At the chapter 2, it said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, meaning Jeremiah, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that wasn't even sown. And here God is reminding Israel, who has strayed from him, I remember when you were young, when I first made you my people. I remember when I came to you and told you I had made you a special people, Now, I have a special chore for you to do, and you were so excited about it, and you wanted to do it, and you loved me, and you followed my commandments, and you did anything I asked. And I remember that we had wed, as it were, together, and then you left me. You even followed me into the wilderness. I said to Abraham, let's go, and we're going to a country you know not of. You don't even know where it is. Will you go? He said, yeah. Said, will you bring all the people with you? He said, I will. I said, my goodness, you must have loved me to come that far and to take such a chance. And God saying, what happened? Where did we go wrong here? Went into a land that was not even sown. Nobody lived there. Nobody tended the crops there. It was just an unknown wilderness, and you went. And now you've turned from me. I don't understand that. God said Israel was holiness unto the Lord. You did everything that I asked of you, and you were the first fruits of his increase. I gave back to you. And I increased your crops, and I increased your cattle, and I increased your lands, and I increased everything you needed, and I took care of you. And I don't understand this. I don't understand why you would leave after I'd been so good to you. And I told the entire world that all that devour you, that all that come against you and offend you, that evil shall come upon them. And I've seen that that was so. And I just don't understand the battles I've brought you through and the wars I've brought you through and everything I've brought you through. And now you turn on me. I don't understand that. Today we call that can't stand in prosperity, don't we? And I can see God looking at the United States with the same wonderment and saying, wait a minute, you were oppressed in Europe. You under the domination of a religion that was using you. Offered you not salvation, they offered you slavery. They took what you had and oppressed you, and if you really wanted to believe what I had to say, they burned you at the stake. They fed you to wild animals. They took your life by the hundreds of thousands. And I brought you away from that. And I planted you in a new country that they couldn't get to. And you landed on the beach. And the first thing you did was put up a cross. You won't find it in your school history books now because that's too religious. But the first thing you did was put up a cross and claim that country that it would evangelize that country, however large it was, and wherever your feet took you in it, that your purpose for being there would be to spread my word. And I don't understand that. You were willing to come out from under that persecution, and then you crossed the ocean, and I planted you in a beautiful land and gave it to you, and now you've turned on me, America. I don't understand that. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of my increase was yours. And we look back on our history, and it's not very long. Do you realize that there are roofs on houses in England that are older than the United States? I mean, we're young. And he said, look, you came and you served me, and you started your churches. And the churches started the educational system. That's how you got schools and became the most educated land on earth. I took care of the crop situation, and I gave you the first fruits. I brought you here, and there was 7 inches of topsoil. It had never been planted. A few Indians had a little corn. That's about it. Deer and buffalo and bear and everything everywhere, just all for you. I'd already prepared it. And I brought you and set you in this paradise, and for a while you followed me, and then you turned on me. I don't understand that. And he goes on in verse 5 and said, what iniquity to Israel, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? God is in wonderment here. He said, what is the problem? What have I done wrong that they're gone far from me and walked after vanity? Vanity means emptiness, empty things. And they have become vain, they've become empty. And here Jeremiah is reporting to Jerusalem, and he's asking the Jews, he said, look, after what God did for you, you get settled and then you become empty and go far away from God. Are you people crazy? And today I look as thousands of years from when this was written and see the same thing, and old enough to look back on some history and old enough to remember the Second World War and old enough to have studied in school, of course, just like you did, how the country was founded and grew and what happened. And I look and I say, where did America go? Wrote a poem one time, should have brought it this morning, called America Gone. As a little boy, I could ride the bike down to the corner and wait on Bobby to ride his bike, and we'd wait on Leroy, and we'd wait on the Nichols brothers if they came that day, and then we'd ride off to school as a group. And then we'd learn, and we learned of the country, and we learned it was a godly country, and they read the Bible in school, maybe the Psalms. It didn't offend anybody. I don't remember any youth evangelization. I don't remember any church services held in grade school, but I do remember we honored God every morning. I do remember the Ten Commandments were on the wall, and we already knew them, and those were the things we weren't supposed to do, among others. It was a good reminder. We all said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and stood up and crossed our little hearts, and best as we could, we would repeat it, and some would know part and part, but somehow it all came out every morning, and we were very proud. And then I look at the situation today and say, God was so good to us. Why did we leave that? Why did we leave that and go after vain things that have no meaning to them? And I, like you, watch television in vain to find something with any meaning or consequence at all. I don't want to watch Shakespeare every night either. But for heaven's sake, what they pour in my living room floor, you couldn't get up with Clorox. I remember when you had to pay to see that stuff in the back alleys. Some guy had an 8mm camera, and you could see that if you paid to get in. And us kids trying to knock a knot hole in the wall where we could see. And we didn't know what it was. We just knew that they were looking at something we thought we were supposed to look. Now it's in your living room. Hardcore pornography. Hardcore pornography. This weekend, don't matter black or white, more people were naked and had clothes on. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. If you don't care for the decency of yourself or the decency of my wife and family going out to get the groceries, for heaven's sake, care about your mother. She didn't raise you like that. And where have we gone wrong? And what did we do? And why would we do that? Jeremiah says, neither said they, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? He's reminding you, saying, fellas, y'all were in a tough time. Do I have to point out that you were in the pits and you were making bricks without straw and you were eating garlic and you were eating onions and you didn't have a decent meal and no decent place to live? And if they decided to send your child to another part of the country to work on a pyramid, then he just had to go. And if they took your daddy away from the family, then he just had to go. No questions asked. And you were down there and had no way out. And I sent my man and said, let my people go. And I brought 10 plagues upon that country, and they freed you. And then I opened the Red Sea and let you walk across on dry land. Where's your memory, son? And now you don't even call upon the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt and led you through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, a land of drought, and you passed you through the shadow of death. Took you to a place that no man passed through. People couldn't live there, where no man dwelt. And I took you through all of that, and I brought you into a plentiful country. And you don't even know my name, Jeremiah is saying to the Jews. We read that and said, oh, how could they? I don't know, America, how could you? Look what God has brought us through. If you think you whipped the German army, you out of your mind. Ask anybody who was there. They had better machinery, they were better trained, they were smarter. And it was about to end for England because the V2 rockets were now shooting from Germany and landing on my cousin's house in England. And they didn't even have to fly the airplanes anymore. They just had to mash a button in Germany and could fight a war in England. And they were working on one that would hit New York City. When Wernher von Braun, the father of rocketry, the man who started it all, and took his crack German scientists who were brilliant, and they said, Hitler's gone crazy. This is not a just war. We're doing wrong. We better leave while we can. We do not want to give this madman what we know how to make. Where will we go? So being intelligent, they took the constitutions of every country they could flee to. And they studied them to find a place to go. And they said, this country, unto God, this is where we need to go, where people appreciate freedom, where people will live and die rather than go into slavery, where people love the Lord Jesus. We need to go here. And just because of that, they came to America. Just because of that, we are first in rocketry today. Just because that handful of, with Wernher von Braun, were led by God Almighty to come to this shore. And Jeremiah said, have you forgot? And we say, America, have you forgotten that you almost lost that war? That we are almost under the rule of Europe right now? It was just a few turns and a few twists that meant the difference in that thing. Do you not understand how close we came? What is wrong with you? You see, people have a short memory. After Joseph went from the pit, I mean, he's a success story of the universe. He went from below ground level. He was in a pit and went from a pit to the caravan to the prison and ended up associate king of Egypt and saved that land and pulled them out of famine, and made them great as though they were, as you read in your history books, it was Joseph who made them great. And after that book, you turn to the next page, and it said, and then there came a king who knew not Joseph. Didn't even remember. And we've done that, and we're where Jerusalem was, we're where the Jews were, we've completely forgot about God. That have brought you into a plentiful country, brought them to the United States, but when you entered, you defiled my land. Do you know how thick the topsoil was in eastern North Carolina when they landed just 200 years ago? 7 inches thick, the topsoil. I mean, you could stick a broom in the ground, it'd blossom by morning. It wasn't no problem growing stuff. Now it's less than an inch, and we got a chemical everything we eat. Now we chemical in the cows and the chickens, and the cancer rate's out of sight, and people are wondering why. You don't have to be MIT to figure that out. We defiled the land. We've defiled the ocean. Talk to some of these fishermen here who go out on the boats. And they'll say, well, you see your plastic things out there around turtles' necks, miles out. Beer cans floating, miles out. We have defiled the sea, covers 3/5 of the earth. And God said, wait a minute, that's on loan, that's not yours. And he's right hot about it. Jeremiah said, the priest said, they didn't see, where's the Lord? The priest forgot him. And they started prophesying after Baal, a false god who isn't a god, and walked after things that do not profit. The priest did. And I said, well, that can't happen in America. Sorry, it's too late. 70% of the pastors preaching in pulpits this morning do not believe this book's the word of God. Do not believe in the virgin birth. Do not believe in miracles. Do not believe in hell. Do not believe the Lord Jesus is coming again soon. I don't know what they're doing there other than drawing a salary. 70%. And God gave us this land to take his word across it. But God's good. Verse 9, he said, wherefore I'll yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and I'll plead with your children's children. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to plead. I'm going to beg. I'm going to cry. I'm going to send Jeremiah. I'm going to send the reformers. I'm going to send Moody. I'm going to send Spurgeon. I'm going to send Dr. Bob. I'm going to send Harold Seitler. I'm going to send Falwell. I'm going to send Billy Graham. And if you can get a group together, heck, I'll send Beaver. But I still love you. And I still want you to know I cry every night. God says, I'm pleading with you to please come back to me. Jeremiah said, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. And we've become totally materialistic in our country. I was talking to a lawyer friend of mine before the service, telling him a lawyer joke. He told me a preacher joke. So he said, there's a lawyer down here on 501 over the weekend, got hit in his Ferrari. And he material-minded, of course, jumped out and said, oh, me, this is a $150,000 car. Look at it. It's wrecked. Look at the paint job. The highway patrolman said, son, you didn't even notice that truck took your door off and your left arm went with it. And he looked and said, oh, my gosh, my Rolex. And that's about where we are. That's about where we are. And he said, you went after that. That does not profit. And you say, but I'm making a profit. Wrong profit. Does not the scripture teach you that what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What did he win? In the end, what did he win? You've seen the t-shirts, he who ends up with the most toys wins. Bad information, he'll have the most toys in hell. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God said, you have forsaken me, you have left me. I am the fountain of living waters. It is from me that the truth comes. It is from me that eternal waters flow. It is from me that eternal life will come up. I am the well that never runs dry. And if you will drink of this water, you will never thirst again. But we said, no, we'd just soon drink it one where we'll thirst again, where we're never satisfied, instead of going to living waters. And he said, look, you've hewed out cistern. A cistern was a well. A cistern was a big clay pot. One was so big it held 2 million gallons in Jerusalem. Caught the rainwater. It was precious in a desert land. And you got out in the desert, you better make sure you had a good cistern of water, and you better make the cistern was good, because if the water leaked, you were dead. You can live a little while without food, but you won't live long in the desert without water. And he said, you have forsaken me and made cisterns that hold no water. Empty, cracked, full of holes, no truth. You build churches and I'm not welcome. You hold religious studies and nobody takes my book. I reveal to you the truth thousands of years before something happens and you reduce it to myth and hearsay. Broken cisterns won't hold water. And Jeremiah is telling the Jewish people, you better come back to God. And we cry out to the American people and the rest of the world, you better come back to God. And we say, well, good old God won't do nothing, will he? Real quick, let me tell you what's coming. Civilization as we know it may go on for 10,000 years. But the signs of the kingdom are all around us, and I don't see how we can get out of a nuclear war in the next 10 or 12 years. It's not me saying that. That's the head of the Navy saying that. A Navy admiral said the American people will be hit with a nuclear warhead of some type within the next 10 to 12 years. They've got all the information. So the Jews are not going to be destroyed, which means the Lord Jesus is going to come and take the Christians out of here, because we are promised by him we'll not go through the tribulation period. We'll not go through Jacob's trouble. And this is just the first part. Chapter 6 of Revelation, I'll just run through the first seven seals. They're the scroll judgments, they're the vial judgments, they're the bowl judgments. I mean, it's coming. These are just the first six. It's coming. I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the false Christ that's coming. That's the Antichrist that's coming. That's he who will come at the few days after the Lord Jesus takes the church out. And the confusion rages, and he's going to come, and he's not going to be anti-Christ. He's against Christ, as it were. Anti means alongside of or in place of. And he's going to say, wait a minute, I'm the Messiah you've been waiting on. Them crazies, just the aliens got them. Don't worry about that. I'm going to straighten this thing out, and he will for 3.5 years. But let me tell you what's coming. He's coming. Second seal is the red horse. Power was given to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. Third seal is famine is coming. The black horse, and he sat on him. He who sat on him had a pair of balances. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a denarius. It's a loaf of bread for a penny, a day's work, and three measures of barley for a denarius. And see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Rich people will be all right, but the poor people are going to have to give a day's wages for a piece of bread. Famine's coming. In 1975, the scientific community, who cares not about scripture or prophecy, moved the atomic clock up one more minute. It's now not 3 minutes to 12, it is 2. On their clock. And they said, if the famines are not curbed by 1975, if something isn't done by what we see by 1975, there are going to be worldwide famines in about 30 years. And they're on the way. In 10 more years, China will need all the wheat, not some of it. They're going to need all of it. Shortly after that, China will need all the food produced. Do I have to tell you that's going to be World War III if something doesn't take place? The fourth seal is death, and I looked, behold, a pale horse, death. The name that sat on him was death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And the sixth one is anarchy. And there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the liberals laugh at that and say, well, that's a metaphor and that's just a story and it's just to let you know trouble's coming. No, have you watched them lately when they're saying the chances of us getting hit by flying meteors in space are closer and closer? In fact, there's a movie out about it now that if that big one a mile long hits and it lands in the ocean, the tidal waves will just inundate this country. Be over. They're worried about it now. Jeremiah, Paul, Gospel of John, Revelation told us about it years ago. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the captains and the mighty men and every slave and every free man, that's everybody, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting that a lamb would have a wrath? For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I wrote a little poem, and it's the front of my Bible. I glued the front page over so I can't read it anymore. But I remember what it said. It said that he came the first time as a lamb, a baby in a manger. He'll come the second as a lion, the mighty king from Zion. He'll come in judgment. He'll come as a warlord. He'll come with a rod of iron. He'll come and separate the chaff from the wheat. He'll come and enforce his rule if you don't want to obey it on your own. And this is what's coming. And say, well, how do we avoid that, preacher? Oh, well, the answer was given 300 years before Jeremiah gave a warning. In Psalm 37, it said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of the ones who prosper in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And don't we all do that? Look at Las Vegas and say, well, they hate God, but look at the billion-dollar hotels and the diamonds and the gold, and they're winning. No, just for a little while. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself. Worry. Don't worry yourself to the point that you'll do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. That's why I brought my picture today, and it says, the Lord shall laugh at him. For he seeth that his day's coming. You see, you need a Rolex. God don't need to know what time it is. You need a calendar. He's in the ever-present right now. 1,000 years to you is a long time. Scripture says to him it's like a day. And evil will not win. The just shall prevail. The Savior shall come and reclaim his world and set up his kingdom, and he offers you a place in it as a free gift. Don't be vain like the Jews were and turn against God. Don't be vain like America did and turn against God. Stand fast and say, my hope is in the Lord. Is in the Holy One, is in the one who died for me. If you haven't done that today, you do that. What a Memorial Day it will be for you. It's to remember this is the day that you went from darkness to light, from death to life, from hell to heaven. What a wonderful day. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that the warnings have been sent out by the prophets of old, by the preachers of now, that the day is drawing close to an end when you're going to call us up. The tribulation is going to take place and the kingdom is going to be set. Thank you that you freely gave us a place in it. Thank you for the millions who have already accepted you and are with you now. Thank you that we will be those of us who have accepted you as Savior, whether we live or die here. Thank you that you hold out the olive branch of peace to those who stand and sit before me and plead one more time, don't let the day set when you have the wrath of God on you. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. Trust in me, and I shall bring it to pass. If you haven't done that today, you do that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lost and dying. If I died today, I know I'd go to hell. You know it too. But I don't want to. I don't want to be under the wrath of God. I want to be under the love and peace of God. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me and be my redeemer. Please, Lord, if there be one here today who needs to pray that prayer, I pray that they will. And give us safe travel to our homes and bring us again here next Sunday where we can truly say, it was good to have been into the house of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, and for his holy sake, amen and amen.